It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
I swear to God, I had a panic. I swear to God.
That's not a panic.
Well, it is, kind of.
It's a Sharpie.
I know, but it's easy to read.
But it... Oh, here's a pen. Thank you. I swear I had one. Thank you, Ryan.
No, you didn't.
No, I did.
Bob, come on.
I must have left it in the car. I must have taken it out of my pants.
This is a recording. This happens every day.
Swear to God.
401, no pen. Ryan's always ready for the pen.
No, I understand.
It's unbelievable. How many have you lost this month?
Well, I haven't lost any. I give them back, and then they give them to me when
you're
I get
the guy,
here.
You're the reason they have put chains on the one at the bank, because you'd take it.
I like the pens at the bank.
I know you do.
And I would take it, too.
I know. That's why the ATM fees are so high. McCowan takes pens.
Takes the pens and then leaves them at Sportsnet.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ken Hitchcock says hello, by the way.
What are you talking to Kenny?
Just now.
Well, that was Ken?
Yeah, I've been trying to talk to him for an hour, and he phones at 3:59. I said, well, what's going on in the air with McCowan? Say hello for me. What's new with your team? We all got the flu.
Oh, really? Do they?
Yeah, they're playing Vancouver tonight. So,
did they all get the flu in Vancouver?
No, they're in. It's in St. Louis tonight. So I don't
you
know
just
where
said
they're
in Vancouver.
They're playing Vancouver. So he, anyway, so he says whatever 20 show up are healthy, they're playing.
He's a piece of work.
He is indeed.
They're not off to a very good start for them.
No. And when you consider how other teams in the West, I mean, look at Anaheim last night, Gabby's team. Holy smokes, they're fun to watch. And San Jose's with their long road
trip. I have a feeling this might be Anaheim's year.
Another Anaheim year?
No, I've never said it before.
Not even with your pal Berkey there?
Well, no, 2 years ago. No, back then, no.
Okay.
2 years ago, and Berkey's not really my pal. Berkey and I have a love-hate relationship.
You guys are tight.
We are not tight.
Yeah.
Now, Gabby and I are tight.
Yes, I know. Bruce is a good man.
So, no, but the first year he went there, they were terrible.
Well, in fact, he almost got them into the playoffs, though. I
mean, yeah, but they were terrible.
Yes.
And then last year, they were better than terrible. A lot better than terrible.
Yes.
They were really good.
Indeed.
They lose to LA in seven games? And didn't they lose games 6 and 7 in that series?
Yes.
They were up 3-2.
Mm-hmm. Remember, the LA Kings went 7 games,
yeah,
three
series
in a row.
Yeah, yeah. But,
and came from behind in the first two.
Right. But what I was going to say was they were down. What I said was they were. Anaheim had a 3-2 lead and had a chance to close it out twice and couldn't do it. Made a few changes. Got rid of a couple of the older guys. And I like the team. And a big shot. That's tough out there, though. You know, you got 5 or 6 that can win it. But
Bob Murray has very quietly, because if you know Bob Murray, the old Blackhawk defenseman, Bob Murray does everything quietly, has done a magnificent job with his drafting, building from within. And, then he, when you draft guys like Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry, they've Cam Fowler. They're in pretty good shape. And they have a goaltender, Frederick Anderson, who first goalie in NHL history. I think his first 31 games, he's won 26 of them. He's pretty good.
Pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing behind a pretty good team, too. But
indeed.
So if that coach in Detroit,
not you too,
doesn't wind up coming to Toronto,
yeah,
as everybody's speculating, would Boudreau be your second choice?
One is assuming that Randy's no longer here.
Well, we're making all these assumptions here, and we're not saying we know anything.
No.
We're just saying if.
See, now, usually you prep me. You haven't prepped me for this one. I'm not ready for
this. Well, I didn't think about it before I said it. I don't usually prep you.
I know.
Let me help you with something. Which coach was the fastest in NHL history to 300 wins?
Bruce Boudreau?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Usually Don Cherry's the answer to that.
Fastest to 300.
I think Bruce might have beat Don. Wow.
Yeah, he did.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's a good question. He would certainly have a Toronto kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have to be on a list.
Mm-hmm. Would love this job.
I think he likes his job now, though. Here's a really good. I'm going to put it back at you.
Okay.
So
won't take as long to answer, by the way.
No, but
just so you know.
Okay. He would leave a team that potentially could be a standing.
I didn't say that.
No, hold on. No, my question is: Would you leave a Stanley Cup contender in what I would describe from a Canadian hockey fan point of view in suburban oblivion? And no offense to people in Anaheim, but for somebody who's grown up in the hockey culture, Anaheim is suburban oblivion. Mm-hmm. You would consider leaving a really good hockey club with potential to win the Stanley Cup again, high-profile players, to come for a rebuild in Toronto?
Look, here's the point. I want to clarify.
Hold on. You said you were going to answer quickly.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
No, I know.
I want to be clear that it's not like, even though we're friends, and we did talk a little bit about this kind of stuff on the golf course this summer, I don't know what his answer would be. And I also know he did sign a 2-year contract during the offseason with Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he has an out clause in it. But if I know Gabby, and I've known him for 30 years.
Yes.
40, almost.
I was
going
to say.
Yike. So, since the mid-70s. So it's almost 40 years. So it's a pure guess. I'm guessing in that contract there's an out that he can get out if he's offered the Toronto Maple Leaf job.
But that's a guess, Bob.
A guess. It's a pure, guess. And if Gabby's listening right now and I'm wrong, he's picking up the phone and saying, what an idiot.
In a coach's contract, and in most management contracts, the only way you can get out of a contract of this level is if you upgrade positions, right? So if you're a coach and you have a chance to be offered a manager's job, then you can probably get out. But there's lots of guys that don't have any outs at all in their
contract. But here's the context. So when we're sitting in the golf cart, the Babcock rumors were out there already.
Yes.
And that was the context of the conversation.
Right.
Do you think Babcock would go to Toronto, blah, blah, blah? You know, what if it wasn't Babcock and they make a change? Mm-hmm. Would you go?
Right.
And he didn't have his contract extension with Anaheim at the time.
Okay.
So that's the context of the conversation. Pure theory. And all I know is he gushed about the opportunity to coach the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And one of the reasons I asked my question
He's not a real smart guy, by the way.
Who, Bruce?
I love him dearly. But
why? Clearly,
well, he wants to coach the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Or did he not give you enough strokes?
He doesn't have to give me strokes.
Okay. Because one of the reasons I asked the question is because the last time we went through this in Toronto with a member of the Anaheim Ducks coming to Toronto.
Was Berkey.
And Brian turned down a huge long-term extension in Anaheim from Henry Samueli. Got offered like a decade to stay as the manager of the Ducks and elected to come to Toronto. And how did that work out?
Well, no, but he also, he liked the idea of being closer to his kids who were in Boston. So there
I understand.
There were mitigating, it wasn't just the Toronto Maple Leafs. There were other mitigating circumstances. He wanted to be on the East Coast.
I understand that.
Right. But it's still a dumb move, in hindsight.
In hindsight, when you consider all the issues that are to be considered, he left a Stanley Cup, a team that he had been part of building it to win the Stanley Cup in 07 and was still in pretty good shape, had some great building blocks in place. I mean, the one thing he should get credit for was getting the Niedermeyer brothers there, particularly Scott, to play for them. So from that perspective, would you forsake leaving a true contender for the Stanley Cup to come to a, you know,
all I'm saying
to,
is,
to the fishbowl, Bob?
All I'm saying is it's a dream job. And in the summer, he aspired to it at some point in his career.
Wow.
You know, Toronto boy coming home, grew up with a maple leaf tattooed
on
his ass.
How many times does that work?
Well,
not just Toronto, but how many times does that work for people going home and being successful?
I understand entirely what you're talking about. I'm just saying.
And the answer is not very often.
I'm just saying.
And I know people will come up with remedies, but it doesn't work very often.
Well, I made for interesting conversation, at least.
Yeah, and you're all over Twitter again with it. It's good.
I am?
Oh, invariably. Are you kidding me? You're always all over Twitter. Well, McCowan says this.
Nobody tweets it to me. The people that follow me don't tweet.
And the people you follow?
I don't follow anybody.
Ah.
Either you're a leader or a follower. You can't be both. Which are you?
I'm just getting out of the way.
How many people do you follow?
99.
Are you stuck at 99?
I will not go to 100.
You won't go to 100?
Nope.
Have you deleted some and added some?
Yes, all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're always rotating.
I'm always rotating. If I get tired of somebody that's tweeting, I'd like to go out to a restaurant tonight. Gone.
Click.
Don't want them.
Do you follow me?
No.
I don't blame you.
No.
Well, there's no point wasting a follow on me.
No.
I don't tweet enough.
No.
But when I tweet, boy.
Invariably, someone I follow retweets you.
Oh, so you get to see it anyway.
Invariably.
So you're cheating.
No, I'm not, but I follow 99.
Apparently, you're following 98.
That means I've got one
new
opening.
Room.
I have opening because not a chance.
Come on.
Not a chance.
I'll tweet.
No, you won't.
I promise.
I'll tell you what.
Come on,
Bob,
John,
Bob,
follow me.
I will follow you if you follow me.
No, it ain't happening.
Okay.
Well, you follow Richard Deitch.
If memory serves me, I recommended Richard Deitch to this program and have been on the air telling other people to follow Richard Deitch because I think Richard is the best media critic.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else.
I know. Best media critic in North America right now.
Here's Richard Deitch's sports.
He's on the line. I didn't know.
Well, that's very high praise, first of all, so thank you. But on a serious note, I do want to say, since I am on a Canadian station, that, like many of us here in the States, we are thinking about and supporting all the people in Ottawa. Watched a lot of news coverage yesterday.
Wow.
Including the CBC. And I will say this, just as a media note, and this is not important compared, obviously, to the loss of lives and everything else that happened, but it really is a pleasure to watch news being delivered, like, with professionalism, with thought, with the highest competence. And I watched the CBC coverage. I watched a lot of it yesterday, and it was just remarkable. And this is going to come off like a little bit of a shot at CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, but it was just remarkable, like, to be reminded of, like, what, like, great journalism can be, like, in the middle of a crisis. And too often in my country, it becomes theater more than news reporting. Now, that's not always the case. A lot of times CNN, Fox, MSNBC, they do amazing work. But yesterday the CBC, it really stood out, and it reminded me when I was in London at the Olympics, and it reminded me when I was in Europe of watching the BBC and thinking to myself, man, like, this is how it should be done. So props to the CBC for just like handling a really horrible day in an incredibly professional and informative way.
Don't you think, Richard, in many ways, because I was curious at times how U.S. networks would cover yesterday, so I watched a little bit. Don't you think in many ways the networks there dealt with it as a headline, and the CBC and CTV, for that matter? I thought Craig Oliver was outstanding. They basically covered it as a long form. And the simplicity of here's what's happening and get the news out, as opposed to digging deeper into what was going on. That's the difference I saw yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are times, again, I would say, in this country when CNN in particular really sort of throws itself into a story. And I'm not talking about a silly story. I'm talking about like a real story. And they do great work. They mm-hmm. they put their best people there. They quote unquote, it's a really bad New York Times term, but they flood the zone. And they just do thoughtful, smart things. But too often, especially when it comes to politics, everything in my country is divisive. Everything in my country feels like theater and performance art. There's a lot of yelling and screaming back and forth. I actually thought, interestingly enough, yesterday, because I watched a lot of CNN too, I thought CNN did a really good job with what was going on in Ottawa, because they were, you know, they were kind of measured, and maybe because we don't have people all over the map in Canada, that there was a little less over the top kind of, you know, of a news element, and it just sort of they went where the story went, as opposed to, as we've seen in this country, whether it was you know, the missing plane in the middle of the Pacific, or you know, when like boats are not docked. I mean, it's the news in this country, again, because we're so driven and geared by ratings. Yeah. And I understand that. You know, CNN isn't it's not a nonprofit; it's a profit business. So you got to do things that get ratings. But man, I'm just telling you, I watched it yesterday, and I was like, I wouldn't say I was embarrassed for the States, but it was more like I just kind of wish that I could get this kind of stuff on a daily basis. And I can't, and it's frustrating to me as someone who really likes news and who really wants news done smartly. It was just frustrating watching the CBC and thinking to myself, I'm not getting this on a daily basis. This is not the kind of thoughtfulness I'm getting. So I wanted to just, because I know I was going to be on the air with you guys, I wanted to give kudos to the CBC, and
well,
I hope Canadians, if nothing else, sometimes recognize or realize that they really have a good news organization up there. And CTV as well, who, you know, I remember watching during what was going on in Vancouver in the Stanley Cup,
mm-hmm.
And just really, I'm trying to remember that because I know the guy actually. It's Rob, CTV Rob. I'll think of his last name. But there were really tremendous, just tremendous reporting there again. And you just saw, you know, you saw journalists being journalists, and that was nice to see.
I'm interested. Do you get it on your cable system? Do you get CBC on your cable system or satellite?
I do not. What I did was, and this is why Twitter, as to sort of make it circular back to what you guys were talking about. You know, I follow a lot of smart people on Twitter, and literally immediately when that was going on, I was alerted to the fact that here's a link to the CBC.
Right.
You can go on the site, and you can watch the live coverage online. And
that's
I watched it on my computer literally for 4.5 hours.
Wow. Well, I will say that I was tuned into Peter Mansbridge most of the day myself,
yep.
and I did flip over to CNN to see what they if they were. You know, I actually flipped over to see if they were even covering the story. And I guess not surprisingly, they were. And in fact, when I got home last night after the show, I, you know, flipped around to the various networks, watched the prime minister and the leader of the opposition both make their speeches, flipped back over to CNN to see if they had moved on to other things, and saw Anderson Cooper had actually flown into Ottawa and was hosting from our nation's capital last night.
Yeah. And one of the more thoughtful guys in this country who, even though he's a celebrity journalist, is a journalist at heart. And I've now remembered it. The person I want to sort of give kudos to is a guy, Rob Brown, who I think is based out of Calgary, who was incredible
mm-hmm.
during the riots in 2011, where he was going through the city and just... just basically, he was the eyes of the world at that point, and doing it thoughtfully and smartly. And that was when I first really paid a lot of attention to CTV, because I was watching this guy going, man, if this guy's like reflective of this news organization, this is a pretty good news organization.
The story yesterday had only a very small touch of sports for us because of the cancellation of a hockey game. And I mean, it, you know, oops, we've lost Mr. Deitch. Let's see if we can get him back. One of the things that happened last night, for those that aren't aware, and I'm guessing that most people are, there were two hockey games played in the United States last night in Pittsburgh
and in Anaheim.
And in Anaheim.
Yep.
And in both cases.
And it actually were, and there was a third one. Washington played at Edmonton last night too.
Right. But I'm saying the two games in the United States,
right,
in both cases, not involving Canadian teams.
Right. Moment of silence in Anaheim, and they played O Canada in Pittsburgh.
Which is extraordinary, really. I mean,
yeah. It's funny, I was talking to people at lunch today about this, and they thought it was great that the Penguins did what they did with our anthem there. The Penguins are a forward-thinking progressive, might be the most forward-thinking progressive hockey team when it comes to that type of thing. So David Morehouse, Mario Lemieux, obviously a big part of that organization.
Sure.
Those guys are always thinking and always trying to do the right thing.
Richard's back with us, I think. We lost you, so we don't know what happened, but we're glad to have you back.
Appreciate that. I am back.
I was going to mention that, and I just mentioned to John while you were away, that, and we're showing video now, of in Pittsburgh last night, even though there were no Canadian teams participating, they played O Canada, Canadian National Anthem, and a moment of silence in Anaheim before the Ducks game later on. And, I mean, on behalf of this country, you know, those kinds of gestures, for me, were unexpected, and yet... greatly appreciated, and it brought emotion to me, you know, after the fact. So I, you know, again, thank you on behalf of this country.
I mean, you know, when it comes to any kind of, I'm very careful with this word, sort of, you know, terrorist implications anywhere. You know, I'm in a city which has great experience with this in New York, and so when we see these things happen elsewhere, we really are impacted by it, and we're particularly impacted by it, obviously, when it happens to, you know, a country who we neighbor, a country who's basically had our back, and hopefully we've had their back forever. We're aligned, generally speaking, I think, politically and socially, for the most part, not everything, but for the most part. So that should be done. I'm glad that happens, but mm-hmm. I'm polled every American, but there are very few countries, in my opinion, where if something happened, we wouldn't really feel like very strong allies. You know, the UK, Canada, you know, there are just a couple of nations which I think we are just always going to be connected with for whatever reason, whether we border them, whether we are like-minded, or whether we have history with. And so I'm glad to hear that, but it doesn't surprise me, and I would imagine that you will probably see more of that in the next 24 to 48 hours.
I was interested. I was going to say also that... I got up this morning, and CNN was still on the story this morning.
Yeah,
As they should be. I mean, and again, when I woke up this morning, I saw—I don't remember what time it was. You guys would know better than me, but there was live coverage of Stephen Harper in Parliament talking to Parliament, and that—I mean, for the life of me, I'm not sure I've ever. It's probably
well, we
it probably
do that.
Has happened, but I'm not sure I've ever seen that on American television. But they went with it for a long time, and it was pretty—you know—it was pretty emotional. Sort of moment being in that Parliament and seeing that. So that was, you know, I was watching CNN, but I would guess that was on all our cable networks for a pretty significant time. And again, as they should have. That's a story that we're connected with because of, it involves Canadians. But more than that, what happened there is kind of a global thing. So the news, I'm glad that the major news cable networks here at least were going with that. This morning, and that story should be part of their news cycle, in my opinion, for the next couple of days.
If we can, and we must move along. Tonight, a football game will be played, and it's a Thursday night game, which for most of us means find something else to do rather than watch the football game.
Right.
But perhaps not tonight. It would seem a matchup that. Is intriguing from a number of levels. I think we're going to find out a lot about the, about both these teams, I suppose. Your thoughts?
You know, the last week, CBS finally got a good game.
It did, yeah.
The Jets and the Pats. And so, you know, it's very clear that these Thursday games, there, you know, there's a real like kind of competitive disadvantage to play to turn around so quick, and the quality of the games have been bad. They've been blowouts. You know, maybe that's sort of just a statistical anomaly too. But this should be a pretty good game. I mean, and you know, Philip Rivers has played exceptionally well, or really like the last 16 months or so. Is, you know, you don't think of him as one of the top 5-6 quarterbacks in the league, but he really might be. He probably doesn't have as much talent as some of the other guys around him. And obviously Peyton Manning and Denver are de facto Super Bowl favorites. So this, I don't have the Thursday night schedule in front of me, but I would guess just off the top of my head, they're not going to get a better game than this one. So I'll be really curious to see competitively how it plays. And then I'll be very interested to see viewership-wise what it gets, because there is no World Series tonight. So no right. baseball to swipe a little bit of numbers away. It's usually vice versa. It's no football to take numbers away from right. baseball. And the NBA is still a little bit away from its regular season. So this, you know, if you're a sports fan in America,
singular attention. Yeah,
you should have your attention. I will say this because I know you guys love hockey. Is it wrong for me, because I have a great fondness for the city of Buffalo, one of my former homes, to be rooting for the Sabres to have the worst record in hockey this year, given who is coming into the draft?
Depends on what you think of the kid, but Connor McDavid is supposed to be the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I almost have never found myself in that position. I'm not really a fan of tanking, et cetera, but if everything about this guy is correct, and the best prospect since Crosby, et cetera, I have to be honest, I find myself waking up the next day and looking at the box score, quote-unquote the box score, to see if the Sabres lost. And when they lose, I find myself kind of, like, excited.
The general manager, Tim Murray, is the same way.
I would like to see them have a shot at this guy.
But, and by the way, I don't know if you know, but at First Niagara last night in Buffalo, his team, Erie, played a game against Niagara, and they drew 11,000 people.
That's somebody. It's a great hockey town. You guys know this better than me, but I'm pretty sure that there's another prospect who is quote unquote the number two guy in the draft who also is considered like a game changer.
Jack Eichel, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Who's American?
Yeah. So this is basically like, you know, this feels like the LeBron Carmelo Anthony draft. You gotta get the top two.
I don't dispute that. I guess the last kid who followed the path of McDavid is John Tavares.
I would think so, yeah.
Right. Who's now seems like coming into his own with the Islanders.
Absolutely.
Well, he's
a great player.
He is a great player and a star. The question becomes, can he elevate the franchise? And it's right. early days this year, but there was some evidence, at least at the coming out of the chute, that the Islanders actually were going to be a much better hockey team.
Yeah.
So, you know, it isn't likely to be the salvation of the Buffalo Sabres immediately, but in a couple of years, if the kid is the real deal,
could be interesting. The one thing
I'd
leave you guys with, you probably saw this, but my good friend, former Sports Illustrated writer Michael Farber, mm-hmm. He fronted a great documentary on the year that the Penguins were getting Lemieux, and it was just fascinating to hear from all those executives and the coaches how it wasn't quote unquote tanking, but they absolutely were sort of figuring out a way to maybe trade their best assets to bottom out, so that they can ultimately get Lemieux.
Well, in fact, that was the catalyst to the rule changes,
right,
Richard? They did change the draft, and they went to a draft lottery based on the fact that everybody wanted Mario, and the number two pick that year, a guy named Kirk Muller.
Wow, Devils.
That's right. And the days of the Penguin Devil games and who was going to win and who was going to lose, Eddie Johnson versus Tommy McVie was. Right. That was at a point in both teams' franchise lives that they were praying to get 66.
Wow! And so basically, the lottery exists now, and it's weighted basically. So if you have the worst record in the league, like you have a quote unquote like 30% chance, as opposed to the next team, which might have a 25% chance.
It has been diluted this summer, by the way, by the league. But yes, there's still a better chance that the 30th team overall will get the first pick.
Gotcha. Wow. Well, it's like the English Premier League. I'm going to be looking at the bottom of the table as much as I look at the top this year.
This was great. Richard actually interviewed us tonight.
Fantastic.
What are you doing looking at the Premiership anyway? Why waste your time with that?
Richard's a huge soccer fan.
I mean, I think of you as a cultured guy.
Serious.
European soccer is a lot of fun.
Oh, please put my feet to sleep.
Bob, how can you not like 3-2 games?
I love 3-2. I love 3-2 games. Call me when there is one. You know, five goals in one soccer game?
Bob, you get some goals.
The only way there's five goals in a normal soccer game is if the goaltenders get lost. Don't make it to the stadium in time.
Bob, it's a beautiful game. Play with your feet.
No, it's the other B. It's the other B. Boring. It's the boring game.
Which, by the way, Richard, is the reason Bob doesn't follow you on Twitter.
I don't follow anybody.
I tweet a lot, and he will see some soccer in there, so he should stay away.
Well, that's the end of that. This may be our last conversation on the radio, now that I know that.
No way.
I didn't know you were a soccer fan. Well,
yeah,
I have
a... Look at my versatility. I can go from Barcelona to Buffalo. That's solid.
It's pretty good, I must confess.
I know where I'd rather be.
Well, we'd all rather be there, but that's okay. We got to get out of here. It's always good of you to join us, and thank you for the kind words on behalf of our friends over at CBC.
Not a problem, guys. Hang in there, and thanks for the invite, as always.
We'll talk to you soon. Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated. Jeff Blair will wander in here. A couple of things on the agenda regarding the Blue Jays. Talks have begun, apparently, with Melky Cabrera. And if you want to buy a ticket, it's going to cost you more. We'll tell you about it when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Now, Primetime is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Before the hour, Bob McCown, John Shannon in our Toronto studios. Later, Jeff Hunt, owner of the Ottawa Red Blacks, will join us. It apparently will be business as usual tomorrow night when they host the Alouettes in the nation's capital. We'll talk about that. Chris Johnson of the NHL on Sportsnet, Glenn Healy, and Don Banks of Sports Illustrated all coming up on the program. Baseball news, though. In the middle of big news.
Middle of the World Series.
Middle of the World Series. Middle of the winter.
Yes.
It's not winter yet, but
it's close. It's going to be nice this week. You're going to get out on the course, aren't you?
I'm flogging this weekend. It's the last week, and Home of Golf closes after this weekend.
You and a lot of people.
You were invited.
But I said no.
There's a Monday supposed to be supposed to be a spectacular day too, isn't it?
I might golf Monday.
Yeah.
You going to invite me?
Yes. You want to golf Monday?
No, I can't.
Okay.
It's got to work.
you call this work?
Where do you play anyway?
I play it sometimes at that the Abbey near Glen.
Oh, okay.
I'm a club linker.
No, it's just a hike for me, that's all.
Oh, yeah. But it's not a hike for me to play your course.
But I got to get back here to do the show. That's the only thing I'm thinking about.
Go train. Go train every half hour. It's unbelievable.
I play Golden
Tee. Go train?
Yeah.
Me on a GO train? Surely you jest.
No.
It's comfy. Bob, got wireless now, too.
Am I right?
I don't have wireless anymore.
Jeff and I have ridden the GO train.
Yeah, we ride the GO. I take the GO train.
Absolutely. It's the best way.
You are real people.
No, I'm cheap. I take the GO train. I don't want to drive the car in. I want to save mileage on the leased car, Bob.
And we're trying to save.
Did you take the GO train in today, John?
No. When's
the last time you took the GO train in?
Last week.
You did not.
I
was
did.
Your car in for service?
No, I didn't have a car because every other family member had one.
You should take the GO train sometime.
You should save the environment a bit. You should, Bob. GO train's very good.
It is good.
Yeah, the GO train doesn't go to my house. I'd have to drive past the station to get to the GO train.
If you could actually
take the GO train,
you could do. Have you ever been to? You've been to Japan. The great thing about taking the commuter trains.
I've been to Japan.
So you go downtown.
But I've been to Oklahoma.
That's close.
Sorry. It's a song.
No. The commuter trains that go to the suburbs.
Well, I've never been to Spain.
Spain. Close.
It's not Japan.
I know.
Well, I've never been to Japan. Anyhow. No, that's not the song.
Is this worth it, this story? Yes, because all the golfers from the city, they get on the commuter trains with their golf clubs, and the golf courses, there's usually a train stop. So, Bob, we can do that. I'll pick you up at the GO train station in Oakville.
Fat chance.
And we'll go play golf on
Monday. It's
going
to take me 45 minutes to get to the GO train.
Sounds like a date to me.
Bob, this is perfect. And you can say you're saving environment.
Can we talk to Blair?
Okay.
Let's get to the real important issue here.
Okay.
Ticket prices went up.
Yes.
Now, somebody was complaining about their ticket prices going up, and really, it works out to about $3.50 a ticket for this guy.
For the season's tickets, right? Yeah.
Yeah. We did the math. So it's a bump.
It is. But...
it's not a... is it a gouge?
Well, I don't think it's a gouge. I think ticket prices in Toronto are pretty reasonable to begin with.
Baseball tickets.
Baseball. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Baseball tickets are pretty reasonable to begin with. But... yeah, Mr. Rogers employee telling fans that it's not right. a gouge. That's, you know, I don't know.
Well, I don't care
how many people are going to buy it. But I honestly, no, honestly.
Well, let me ask you this. Can I ask you a question?
I'm not surprised that they're going up.
Did they go up last year?
I can't remember.
I don't know about
it. But I do know.
Can we check if they went up last year?
I do know if they did, they weren't much. I remember Beeston talking to me before opening day, and he just said, you know, ticket prices are going to, I remember him saying ticket prices are going to go up next year. This is before, you know, the season turned out the way it did or anything. He just said, we're going to put ticket prices up next year. And honestly, I never thought anything about it. My reaction was kind of, yeah, okay.
But the question really becomes, is an 83 game season, a victory season,
right,
warrant this? And what you get out of going to Rogers Center warranted? That really becomes the question for the
fans.
That's
the question every year, though.
Sure.
And I don't think the wins or losses had anything to do with it this year. This ticket price was planned, as I said, before the start of the year.
By the way, ticket prices did not go up last year.
This ticket price increase was planned before the start of the year. It's strategic. An 83 win, I don't know, is an 85 season allow you to increase tickets? Does a 95 win season allow you to? Yeah, to me, it's totally irrelevant. I've never been around.
You don't think you should base it on performance?
No.
I think you base it on demand.
You base it on demand. You base it on the market. And we'll see. This may not work. We'll see what the response is.
Tough to say you base it on demand when you have a stadium that holds approximately 50,000 and you're only drawing 30. So there's 20,000. You basically can fill at any time.
But a demand doesn't mean, you know, there's no availability. Therefore, you raise ticket prices. Here's the truth in business. You're going to get the highest price for your product you can possibly get. And when there's resistance at that price, you may have to pull back.
Okay, I'm just trying.
Yeah,
to...
no, that's how everything works.
Yeah, it's and that's people's initial reaction. How can you raise ticket prices after that collapse we saw in the second half? And how can you raise ticket prices after we keep hearing that the players had to pass around the hat for Irvin Santana, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, you raise ticket prices because you've done your research. You like to think you've done your research, and this is what you think the market will bear. And if it doesn't, guess what? You screwed up.
Look at gas prices. The price of oil has dropped by more than about 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Has the price at the pump dropped by 25%?
Not even close. Not even close.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because he blames you.
It's dropped by about 10%.
Yeah.
So, you know, this goes
on
all the time.
You're still blaming me, Bob. I'm just asking the question because I do think there's a ton of fans out there that say that very thing.
Oh, I agree.
Well, of course
I agree.
There are. Nobody's happy when they raise prices.
Yeah, win a World Series and, go ahead and raise prices. But I'm just saying that I don't think that has anything to do with any part of the equation at all. I think the Jays, they have a revenue. They have a level of revenue they want to reach. They think they can do it, increasing ticket prices this much.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we'll see if, you know, hopefully the math is good. But it's done totally independent of the number of wins. And again, I can say I didn't even think anything of it. I just remember Beeston saying, sort of matter of fact, well, we're going to raise ticket prices next year.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay.
Well, and here's, you know, I'm as critical as the next guy about Rogers, and I'll stand by that. But here are two things that are sure. You know, when the Blue Jays decide to spend $135 million on payroll instead of $175 million on payroll, people bitch about them being cheap.
Mm-hmm.
When they raise ticket prices, people bitch about them being greedy.
Greedy, yeah.
So the truth is this. Fans will bitch no matter what.
Well, yeah, because they haven't had a winner here.
Even if they had a winner, then they'd complain. And then you raise ticket prices, they'd still complain about them. That's the nature of people.
Yeah.
So we're not going to deal with it too much. There it is. If you don't like it, then don't go to the games.
But listen on the radio or watch on TV.
Listen on the radio or watch on TV.
The price of watching or listening has not increased, we're proud to say. Melky Cabrera and the Blue Jays are in discussions.
Yes.
Is this at all surprising?
No. And if Melky Cabrera does anything other than look at this number and go, then he's represented by an idiot. $15.3 million for 3 years. If I'm Melky, I'm saying, nice try. Let's go.
Are you sure that that's
17.
The number?
That's what John Heyman has reported. The Jays and Peter Greenberg, his agent, Alex has said they've had discussions on and off to some degree. I don't know if actual dollar figures have been exchanged, but 3 years ain't going to get it done. And I would be surprised if $15.3 million even gets you in the door.
What will the market put in?
You know, the whole PED thing is an issue. The thing is, he's younger than the other PED guys. People have this impression, this idea that Melky's 32 years old. He's 27, I believe. Maybe 28, around there. But he's not as old as some of the other PED guys.
Really? Check Melky's age.
Check
I thought
his
he was
age
30.
He may be 28, I believe.
28? 30, I'm right.
30? Okay,
you're
30.
Wrong.
But he's younger than guys like Nelson Cruz and some of the other guys. And I think in this marketplace, he'll get 4 or 5 years, absolutely.
At 20?
Not 20, but I can see him getting higher than 15.3, maybe 16, 17.
The number that was tossed around my circle when this conversation first came up, and I guess it was in September, we first started seriously talking about it, was 5.15. $75 million for 5 years.
It's roughly BJ Upton money, maybe a little around there.
You don't think that gets it done?
5 years?
You think there's an offer out? There's going to be an offer out there of greater than 5.15?
I think in this market there will be, yeah.
Interesting.
I think in this market there will be. We know that Melky has apparently, through Jose Bautista, said that they'll give the Jays the last chance, the chance to match. But, here's the thing with contract negotiations in baseball right now. The three of us can sit around and come up pretty close to the number they're going to talk about. I don't think 3 years gets it done. I think people are really overestimating the idea that Melky, quote unquote, loves the market. All Melky knows is he's been underpaid for the last 2 years.
Yeah, but if you're the Blue Jays and you know this guy is going to go and test the waters of free agency, you're not going to put your best foot forward. You're going to dip your toe in.
Absolutely.
But
or you come back and you say, Melky, we'll make you an offer, but we want you to decide yes or no.
In deference to Melky, the whole situation is that he had to go reprove himself to Major League Baseball. That's why he came here, and that's why he came here for
those
dollars.
Well, and the other thing
we
got to remember, too, is he really has proved it for 1 year.
Right. But you've also got to remember that that's not...
We forgive him for the first year he was here.
Sure.
And we understand why he didn't play most of the year. But having said that, it didn't serve as a barometer for whether he was, what kind of player he was. It's only 1 year.
I know, but you've got a
pretty good year. But
you know the way the athlete's mind works. I had to do that. I had to take a haircut to prove myself again.
Right. Yep.
In other words, I was underpaid for 2 years. I need to make that up.
I don't know if he was underpaid for 2 years, all things considered.
I think in his mind, he was probably underpaid by about $3 to $4 million a year.
Well,
and maybe
you
he
know,
looks
he
to make it up.
You know, he went on the sauce. You pay a price for that, usually.
World Series is going to the National League city. Does it make that much of a difference for the Royals?
Absolutely. No Billy Butler for 3 games unless he's used as a pinch hitter.
So the Giants could, in theory, win all three?
I've got the Giants in 6. I think they'll still win it in 6.
I got them in 5.
So do I.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
And I said they split in Kansas City and a sweep in San Francisco. So far. Now, mind you, getting to the World Series, I got nothing right.
No,
so.
I got one. I got the Giants. Everybody else.
Thank you, Blair, for sticking around.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. Blair will go to his cot, and then he'll be back at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. We got more to come. Oh, thank you, Shannon. See you soon.
Tomorrow.
We'll be back.